Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, where we care about the episode number. This is episode 572. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Welcome to the official podcast of Shrek.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Why are we allowing this?
I don't know. Earl said he would mention it too. Earl is here.
I will mention Shrek. It's one of my trivia questions. So we do have Shrek ready to go.
Oh no. Jeff, please save us with no Shrek.
You won't hear any, I won't even say that name. You won't hear anything from me about this thing.
What thing?
Exactly.
Puss in Boots.
Nope,
not even that.
Nope.
Not even the cute cat. Okay. We got a packed show tonight. We're gonna induct a game into the Hall of Fame here with no stipulations attached. We have a trivia contest between the four of us, and the winner will be able to pick a game to.
Congratulations, Chris.
Right, can't wait. So excited. Pac-Man Championship Edition. DX will finally get the recognition it deserves from this show.
But before we start,
yeah,
it is December. It is the season of giving, which also means that I started my advent calendar of beers. I bought two this year so I can have it for 24 days instead of 12. And day two, which is December 2nd, that's where this recording is, a Rogue Honey Kosh. It's a honey style ale brewed with, well, you need to say honey that often. It is 5%. And where is this from? I should always pay attention to that, but I never do. I know I've had Rogue before. I just never know where they're brewed. So that is not important. There's Oregon. I'm just very curious. I've never had a honey-infused beer, I think.
Really? I've had stouts that were honey-infused.
Huh. Interesting. It gives it kind of a sweet aftertaste, but not egg sugary.
Yeah.
It's actually very good. Yeah. Would recommend. Okay. I'm happy because the one I got yesterday for the first day was a repeat of Ashy, and I was just so disappointed.
How dare I?
So how does that advent calendar work, Earl? Like, you bought two, so is it like, will there be different beers in both, or?
Oh, it's two different companies. I bought one from a website called Give Them Beer, which is where I got this, the first one from. And I was talking to a friend, and like, if you go, certain places start doing this. I seen an offer wine at Costco's, and I think some supermarkets will do like a wine of the month, like a wine advent calendar for 24. And you can get beer for that, but a lot of those that you do with the beer is kind of just going to be like, not generic, but kind of like mid-level craft beers. So probably some Blue Moons and Sam Adams variety flavors or whatever. So I was like, I got this. I had this one. I've had it since end of October, I think I mentioned. And I was just like, I can get to Tap Room. Tap Room has one. So I ordered a separate one this week. And it came, I ordered it at 5 and it came at like 6:30. So, and I figured I've had this one before. So I'm just going to go through their box. And then hopefully this other one is just a bunch of brand new stuff. So I have no idea what's in it.
Nice.
I'm drinking apple cider.
Just like regular apple cider?
No, it's hard cider. Okay. Apple pie and ice cream is the...
Nice.
Yeah, it's very sweet. Which, I don't know, I don't like my hard ciders sweet. I prefer them like dry.
Okay.
That's good.
Like fine. A dry apple.
Yeah.
I'm drinking a double fruit smoothie sour by Drekker called Brains. Raspberry.
I think I've had that before. It's good.
Yeah. It's a very raspberry. Jeff, what are you drinking?
I'm also drinking a fancy beer.
Oh, God.
Does not sound like a dessert, though. It's just my good old anti-hero.
Oh, that's you actually have a good beer. What's up?
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
My favorite. I drink these way too much. That's why sometimes I try to drink something slightly lighter.
And what kind of beer is that,
Jeff? That's an IPA.
think I've come to the conclusion I just don't like IPAs.
That's possible. Some people do not.
I think especially with the fact that so many of them, after a while, like a lot of IPAs, I'm not going to say that, but a lot of like the kind of baselines all really taste similar and hoppy, and I think a lot of people just got over that flavor really quickly.
Yeah, not me. I love it. But if you ever see an anti-hero, try it. Give it a shot.
Sure. I mean, I'll try anything, but
it's got a little bit of fruitiness to it.
All right. We got at least one game to talk about. We have a movie review as well. But Tony, you've been playing Battlefield 2042. I want to keep saying 2143, but that is not what it is.
That's way too high. Yeah, so I guess I really got into the beta. Like, I really enjoyed it. So I did pull the trigger on the full thing, and so far it's been pretty great. I hear lots of complaints about people having connection issues and like lots of like I have not had any problems with this game. It's been really, really great. The progression seems really good. Like, I'm really enjoying like fluid, awesome gameplay. I think though, the thing that always brings you back to the battlefields is just like the massive, massive maps with people everywhere and all sorts of chaos happening in so many different ways. And it captures that perfectly. And I like the modern era for Battlefield because you get all like the fancy cool weapons. And of course this one is a bit in the future, so you get like more futuristic things. Like it sort of has the perk system that you get out of like the streaks in Call of Duty, where you can like build up points and then call in stuff. And you can call in like a little robot dog that will attack stuff. Or like you can have them airdrop in a hovercraft and get on the hovercraft. The hovercrafts are they're everywhere because it's one of like the earlier things you unlock. But the hovercraft has like a machine gun and like you could run people over with it. It's just like, so you're fighting battles now and hovercrafts are like flying everywhere and they're tanks and everything's exploding. I just love Battlefield. Everything going on, utter chaos all the time. The maps feel huge.
They're like really, really big.
It's hard to get around without a vehicle. Like if you're gonna spawn at the original place, you're gonna be walking for a while. I don't mind the size though. Like once you start like learning how to traverse the maps and move around and like spawning in the right places, like it doesn't feel quite as huge. Also, there's a lot of verticality to the maps in ways that like I feel like the last few Battlefield games haven't really had. So like some of the spawn points are in like tops of buildings. So you can literally like you'll spawn on the top of a building, like paraglide down and attack the point that's next to you. So I don't know. I think they've done a lot here. There's a lot of really, really cool things about it. The weapons, you don't have to worry about unlocking all the attack. You basically have a good assortment of attachments for any weapon as soon as you start using it. And you can start tweaking it already. Now, the more you use it, like you'll unlock new stuff for it. But like, you don't have to worry about like, am I going to have a scope that allows me to use this sniper rifle, or am I going to have to like wing it for like a while to unlock something so that I can actually hit stuff with it?
Right, which just sucks because. Right. Trying to like no scope people and
it's not good, but you can actually customize all of your weapons instantly and like get that, like if you want that 4x scope, it's right there, you got it, you can hit stuff, congratulations. And it's really easy to manipulate that stuff on the fly. I think a lot of it too is like the game doesn't have a good tutorial that teaches you how to do stuff, so I've seen people complaining about stuff like I can't change my loadout in the middle of a match, and you can. There's just no like, and I think that's probably a big failing with the game. Is like, there is a tutorial. It sucks. It doesn't really tell you how to do anything.
Yeah, the tutorial kind of tells you how to play Conquest.
Yeah, it shows you how to basically play Battlefield. It doesn't tell you how to like customize your character. You don't really get a good sense of what the various classes do. You don't learn what the like they have the heroes now, so you're basically playing as a hero who has certain abilities, whatnot. You can, and those abilities are pretty typed to a class. It's like you'll have somebody who has like extra armor, whatever. You normally pick a certain role, but you can actually take those heroes and play as any class if you really want to.
Yeah, they're called specialists, right? And like, you can play any of the classes you want.
I really don't know why they added that to the game. I'm not sure that it really brings a layer of anything to it.
Brings a layer of microtransactions that they can monetize because right, they can sell skins for them.
You can buy new ones, yeah, or whatever. I don't know though. I enjoy it. Battlefield is fun. It's been fun for a long time. You guys need to come out and play Battlefield.
And I mean, anybody can try it because if anybody has Game Pass can try it because it's included. The 10-hour trial is there, which Tony never has luck with.
Right, it always seems to be gone after the first time I use it.
I played the tutorial and then played a match. The matches are long. That is one thing about Battlefield that's not great.
Yeah.
Like you have to settle in and be like, I'm going to play for a half hour to 45 minutes for this one match.
Yep. You can play like the smaller modes, but I hate those. Like, it's like Battlefield trying to be Call of Duty. Like, that's not what it.
Right. Like, it doesn't play. Like, Team Deathmatch does not play the same in Battlefield as it does in Call of Duty. It just doesn't work as well. Time to kill so fast. And
yeah.
So I played the tutorial and then played like one match and it was fun. Like I rode around in a, you know, as a gunner in somebody's, it wasn't really a tank. It was like some sort of personnel carrier, but it had a gun on it. Just rove around in that, helping him mow down people, which was fun. And capture some points. And then it was like over and had to stop playing because, you know, had to go to bed or whatever. And I came back the next day and could not get in at all. So,
Oh no.
I think I need to, and I also think I need to like try and play with like you or Walt or you know, we have some other friends that have bought the game. They are frustrated with it from what I see on the internet. But, I think Battlefield works better with other people. It's not like Call of Duty or Halo where you can just, like, I'm just going to play a game of Team Deathmatch, and it doesn't really matter if I'm playing with other people or not, because like, I'm just shooting things. You have to, like, coordinate. You have to be part of a team in Battlefield. Go to the points, make sure you're covering them. Have somebody cover you while you're getting the point, and stuff like that. So I think it might be better in a squad. So.
Yeah, it's definitely better in a squad, especially if you have, like, someone in the squad who has like a sense of what the overall battle looks like.
Right.
Cause I feel like if you're like, okay, they're over there and they're moving in this direction, like that kind of information is super important in these games. And a lot of times I feel like people just spawn in one spot over and over again. And they're like, I'm going to snipe from here. Like,
yep, okay. But like, they're
not anywhere near, they're not here anymore. Or they've overrun that point and stopped going there and dying over and over and over again. Cause that's not a spot for you to be anymore.
I just spawn on a squad mate somewhere. And yeah, like if you're in a random squad, the other three people are on three different sides of the map. So, I'll give it a try with you guys if you guys are playing at some point. Give it a go. Earl, we went to the movies.
Yes.
Saw that new video game movie, Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, which is a terrible title.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure. I mean, I know why they did it, but just like it's we're in an era where there's three different films called Halloween, and we all run with it. You could have just been called Resident Evil, and people would have been fine with it. It's the first one's almost 20 years old. I think we accept reboots after that time frame.
Sure.
Being just upfront, you know, just to be super positive, it is a lot more faithful to the game than that of previous series was. It is very much in line with the horror film, It has of the characters you can expect. It has references to Resident Evil, like
at all the references.
At some point, she even gets to work in a Joe sandwich reference.
That was bad.
I didn't say they were good references. I said they were references.
Yep.
And it is, yeah, and it ties together the events of 1 and 2, which story-wise makes sense because they take place simultaneously. I don't necessarily know if it translates as well to a movie, but I guess I wouldn't know how you would do it otherwise, because it would be weird to go and have a sequel. Well, no, I guess we've had sequels that take place at similar times as previous movies and entries. I think there was things. I think the high spoiler is probably the muzzle flash fight with Chris in the mansion. And
sure, yeah, that one's pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of other positives to say here.
The movie's over now. You're not watching it anymore.
It is like an hour and a half. So kudos to them for not and they're welcome. Yeah,
I do think that like it being because it's like an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, and they try to pack in like everything from the first three games into that time frame, plus some like other stuff that is not necessary, but they like try to stuff some like Code Veronica stuff in there. Like there's like lots of video game lore in here. It doesn't necessarily all fit, and it feels a little bit rushed actually.
It does, because I mean, I'm not the hugest Resident Evil fan, but I get off the movie and I'm like, I have to check, because I feel like some of this stuff doesn't take place in the first two games, because it kind of defeats the purpose of some of the arcs, I guess, if you want to go with that. And then some of it, it's just like, I'm like, you could have exercised some of this, and it would have flowed better. I think the big one that, I mean, there's a lot, but I think the big one for me is that the whole Chris and Claire thing, because the whole arc of Claire in the second one is that she's come to town to find her brother.
Yeah.
She meets her brother like the first 10 minutes of the
movie. Yeah, she goes to his house and like hangs out there until he shows up.
he's in the shower, because apparently they just had to give, no, this isn't Steven, this is Robbie Amell. A top this scene. But yeah, they meet in like the first 10 minutes of the movie. I'm like, oh, so her arc is done. She's found her brother. And he doesn't want to be with her. So like it really, but the one that because I had to go back and I'm like, I had to ask people because like maybe I just did not remember Resident Evil 2 too much, is they really kind of made Leon an idiot.
Oh, he is the kid, like, look. I don't like Leon in the games, but they make him into a buffoon here, and he's not in the games. Like, he's a rookie. It's his first, like, the storyline of Resident Evil 2, like, for him is he is coming to Raccoon City because it is his first day on the job.
Yes, but it's his first day, not, like, the way it's here, it's like, he went through training, he failed, he shot his partner in the ass, yep. His dad pulled some strings for him, and he can't even shoot a gun properly.
He can't do anything. Like, then, like, they just yell at him all the time. They make fun of him. Like,
yes. And you know what the big payoff for that arc is? Nothing, because he's so an idiot at the end.
Yep.
There's no, like, actual arc to it. It's just like, we need somebody to be the butt of jokes. Leon, you're it. And that is the extent of, I would say that for most of the characters, it's like, what they start off as in this movie is where they're going to end up. There's no real character arcs, even though the film has, okay, no, I was going to say Wesker, but even that's not an arc. Because the movie, I mean, it alternates, like I said, it alternates between 1 and 2, but it also means it has something like, I mean, in theory, it has 6 main characters.
Yeah.
And then it has a bunch of side characters who also stay around for an extended period of time. Yeah, it is a lot. It is not the worst Resident Evil movie I've seen, so I will give it that. I would personally
I still think that the Paul W.S. Anderson's second Resident Evil film is still the worst.
That is fair. It's either the second or, I forget, maybe the
fourth.
Fourth, yeah. That was a franchise where the even numbers were not great. Though the final chapter isn't awful.
Yeah.
I honestly speaking would rather watch the original Resident Evil film than Welcome to Raccoon City again.
Yeah, I came out of that going, this makes that look like, say what you will about the Alice saga. That film was at least doing something. Like, this was like, we're going to do the greatest hits of the video game because that's what you guys wanted, right?
And then it just goes to show that you can't, because I'm sure people might, if they just, because I think what people complain about is like, if you were to transcribe Resident Evil 1-1 from the video games to the big screen, it is a cheesy B movie.
Yes.
And they do kind of go for that here, because I mean, some of the special effects are not great.
And the guy who plays Chief Irons is clearly, like, I can't remember his name. He's somebody that you've seen in other films. But
it's Dano Ugon. He was Boyak on Gotham. He was on. Yes, and I kept on, because his face looks really weird, and I don't know if they did something with his facial hair. But yeah, I'm like, okay, I know him, because he was in that, and I also grew up watching Grounded for Life, where he's a dad on that show as well. But yes, and again, it's so weird. I mean, spoilers, I don't know if we, it's like, he's like, I'm done, Leon, you're now in charge. He drives off.
He just leaves.
And then he has to come back, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I did think that did get a chuckle out of me when he leaves Leon in charge, and then he has to come back, and then like Leon's like, so are you in charge again?
Yeah.
You're a freaking idiot, dude.
Like, oh, that also reminds me of another character who I thought was an idiot, because like he's built up to be so smart, and then he's just an idiot for that. His death is the guy he finds in the jail cell.
Oh, yes, the reporter.
Yes.
The conspiracy theorist, yeah.
Because, like, he knows what's going on. He sees, like, the zombie coming towards him. He says, oh, crap, get me out of here. And then he turns his back on it for the rest of the scene. I'm like, why?
Yeah, he turns his back, leans up against the jail cell. Like, he's just, like, lounging there. Like, I would have turned with the gun pointed at that other, inmate there.
Yeah, like, at least go back and forth between the two of them. But nope, he's like, you know, I'm cool. Like, I know that's a threat, and I know I saw him getting up and everything. And I've been reporting on this, but I'm cool. Yeah, we're good. So yeah, it's, I don't even know if it comes on a streaming service, like, I would say at least watch it, but like, yeah, like, it's been less than a week, and I'm sitting here trying to think of, like, what are some positives I can say? Like, I didn't hate my time with it, but I'm also like, it's not something I was like super stoked to go on my way to watch. It was just like, it's the day after Thanksgiving. I got nothing else to do.
Yeah. Like, there's not really a lot positives. Like, it's a fine time waster, I guess. But it doesn't even feel like it's so bad that, like, you would have fun, like, you know, with your friends, like, drinking against it.
Yeah.
Drinking against it.
Like, because I drink for the Resident Evil movies, and I mean, this does have one of my favorite drinking rules, is that if you watch any of the classic Paul W.S. Anderson movies, is one of the rules we have is you drink whenever you see the Umbrella logo, because Umbrella likes to brand everything, and there are several scenes in this movie where they brand the Raccoon City sign, and they brand a bunch of other stuff, but it's not as overt as the Paul S. W. Anderson Resident Evil films, which again are not. The one thing I would definitely say about this over the other one, I think, except for the first one, those are not really horror films. I feel like they're more kind of like sci-fi, or sure, if anything, action horror. Where this one is there's jump scares. There's scenes that are, you know, set by the lighting or lack of light. You know, like, they get a lot of the, I'm not even going to say, they get a version of, they get one point of enemies in there. You get the dog, you get the crow, you get a licker.
Yeah.
But you get one. The budget does not allow for anything more. You get one.
And they look good, like the ones that they do show.
Yes.
The zombies don't look good.
No, they don't even like get the Walking Dead where it's like you can tell people in makeup. It's like, no, this looks like anything. It doesn't look like anything special.
I will say, like, the one, which is like kind of like the iconic scene from the first game where the zombie is eating like the other cop, and you get him like looking over his shoulder. Like, they redo that here, and I think that one looks pretty good. But in general, the zombies I did not think looked great. In fact, some of them talk, because like they're all at the gates of the police department talking, like, let us in. Very weird. They do the helicopter crash that happens in two. They do that in one, and the helicopter crashes into the mansion. I don't think that happens in the first one. It crashes into the police department in the second one. There's no Mr. X.
No, and I was surprised by for all of this, like, movies, the editors and stuff like that, and the fact that there's so much. It's like, I'm surprised there's actually no, there is a mid-credit scene, but there's really no, like, tease or hints of the future. No Mr. X, no, like, Nemesis program hints. No, like, yeah, like, it's so weird that you would think they would at least try to, like, start building. In case this did well, you would think they'd start putting those hints in there to see what they could do for a sequel, but, yeah. I mean, based off the box office, it's probably not going to get a sequel either.
I didn't check the box. Was it bad?
It's not great. I think it was, like, the fifth movie of the last week. And that it's not like anything was like setting the world on fire, but like we did have what Encanto,
yeah.
Also Gucci, I think Eternals is still holding up well ish. And then I think there was one more movie ahead of it or something like that. So yeah, I think it has like 8 million opening weekend, and that it opened like the day before Thanksgiving.
Goodbye, Resident Evil. Movie series again, I guess.
They're gonna be caught. Oh, Ghostbusters was the other thing that held up well. So yes, Ghost. As of Wednesday, gross. So about just over a week, it is still under 10 million.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not great, especially since the other Resident Evil movies actually did decent box office. So. I mean, they got progressively less and less, but they seem to at least get people out on opening weekend.
So yeah, I feel like this is, you know, like some people sometimes say this is one for the fans, and even the fans are upset because again, we mentioned Leon, but a lot of people also have issues with not Joe, though Joe's very just like pining over Chris half the movie, is Claire, because she's like just cold hearted badass.
Yeah, like, I didn't mind what they did with Claire, but it was a little weird. And the relationship, Claire's relationship with Chris was strange, too.
Yeah.
Like, Chris kind of comes off as, like, an idiot. Like, he's, like, very competent at, you know, being the STARS member that he is. But he kind of just comes off as an idiot. Like, he didn't believe his sister. And that's just how that whole thing starts out. And I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I get that they wanted to set it up, but it's also weird because you already have people being told what's happening, and then like he gets to the mansion, like, what's happening? And it's like, his sister just kind of explained this all to you. So you know what's happening.
Yeah, it's not really surprising that all the, like, your sister just laid all the whole theory out of what's going on, and you're, I'm an idiot. Oh, and then he finally, like, oh, now I believe you. Yeah, after, like, the doctor at the orphanage you were at turned into a monster and tried to kill you. Now you believe her.
As they do.
All right. You guys play anything else this week that you might want to talk about?
I've been playing Guardians of the Galaxy.
How is that?
That game is a lot of fun. I would say it lives somewhere in between
in terms of gameplay, Mass Effect and a Telltale game. Okay. So you control Star-Lord, and in the battles or whatever, you can fly around as Star-Lord shooting your stuff, and you can also give orders to the other members of the Guardians to do stuff. So like you can order Rocket to like throw a grenade, or like order Gamora to like stab someone to death. You don't really have sort of absolute control over what they're doing. They're going to go do their own thing, but you can order them to use that, whatever that special ability is. And then you have to wait for it to recharge. So combat is, you know, you are yourself and kind of sort of having mild influence over what the other folks are doing. The game is very, very dialogue heavy.
They never shut up.
They don't. During the combat, during the like just walking around, like everybody is talking all the time, which is great. I love it. I think the dialogue is really, really well written. They're really true to I guess James Gunn vision of the Guardians characters, like super close. And they say some really hilarious things. It is funny. You'll end up at moments having like a Telltale style quick time events. Like things will come up where you'll have to like either like make a dialogue choice between two people and make somebody angry. For instance, there was a bridge over a gap, and Drax is like, looks at Rocket, he's like, I'll just throw you across. He's like, don't throw me. And they start arguing, and you can side with one or the other. So I sided with Drax, and he just picks Rocket up and throws him across the cliff, and then Rocket was mad at me. So that kind of stuff is fun. Some of the other QuickTime events, though, they're like, you know, hit the button so you don't fall into the abyss and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of those moments too, because there is so much dialogue, and a lot of those moments you don't really play through. But I am really enjoying it. It's a great story so far. I'm not sure how much like a Telltale game, I'm not sure how much influence my choices are having over what's actually happening. But yeah, it's good. I'm liking it.
That's the one thing I was going to say from reviews and stuff. It's like it seems like it's more cosmetic. Like it doesn't really affect the story or anything. But it is nice that you kind of get those options, and you do get to go through and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just to kind of piggyback off of Tony, because I did buy Guardians, but I have not played it because I bought Guardians. I'm like, you know, I should probably play the Marvel game I bought last year and have not played yet. So I've been playing Spider-Man Miles Morales this week.
Nice.
Ooh. And that game is short. That game is not.
No, I feel like I'm closing in near the end, and I probably put in. Well, I will say, and much like the original Spider-Man game, is that I just find like the traversal so engaging that I spent most of my time really just doing like the side quests and stuff like that. So like the first game, you have like the street crimes and stuff, but I also like that you have like the Spider app in this one, so there are kind of more story driven side quests as well. Like right before we finished this, right before we started this podcast, I just finished up, I think, a feast side quest, which was a string of several missions that, you know, like, you know, people were harassing Feast drivers, and Feast is the organization that Miles and Peter volunteer at. And so like somebody's messing with them. Then there's another quest where somebody like somehow steps off the water. Somebody steals toys from them. And then you go through, you know, like several different quests. You can take it, or you can leave it in the background. And it comes back, you know, like I finish it up, and it's like it's the return of a villain from the first game. Which, like, you know, it's been hinted at for several missions, who you knew who it was. But it was still kind of cool to have like this whole string of side missions that was unrelated, but like it's still like its own little story. And then there's I just played one that was like a guy got stuck on he got stuck on the side of a skyscraper on, I forget what you call those, like the trolley cars that goes up and down the building. And you had to rescue him, and then you find out like some people are sabotaging the power. You know, there's one where Harold from the first game is back, and you chase down his pigeons, And I, you know, like, and again, much like the first game, it's so like a lot of this stuff, a lot of the story and stuff comes while you're swinging. So you'll get calls from his friend Gunky. You'll have not as much as the first game. J. Jome and Jameson will pop up on his radio. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, he gets to come up in the first one, but this is probably why he's not as active. And then you get, you know, like, and then you get calls and communications from like his Miles' uncle, who's the Prowler, if you've seen Spider-Verse. But this one, he's kind of an ally, I hope. So far, he's been a good guy with me. But yeah, I like the combat. I like the game. The one thing I will say so far, I find that the enemy variety is not there. I guess that's part of making it a shorter experience. Like, I've been through, I think, most of... Not the end, but I'm happy to be more than halfway past the story mission. And I don't think I fought a boss outside of the opening tutorial mission. It tends to be like just rooms of enemies so far. And it's not like you don't even have... you have the underground, which are kind of the main baddies. And there's like the normal one. There's ones with... there's the big brute. And then there's ones that can block you. And they just added one that had a sword that can take away your venom for a bit. And then you have the kind of like the resistance of these fighters. And you don't encounter them that much. And they're pretty much the same enemies. They're just people with guns. So yeah, there's not a ton of variety in that sense. But everything else has been a ton of fun.
It's a Christmas game too, right?
Yes, it is. I just unlocked his Christmas outfit. He gets a Christmas hat and a scarf, which is really cute.
Yeah, I like that. I like that one. It's very good. Jeff, you play anything else?
Not really. Same stuff I've been playing.
More cruising, more Halo.
Yeah. A lot more Halo, a lot more Forza.
Yeah, we played Halo together the other night. It was a good time.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of it. I wouldn't say I'm good yet, but you know, when you work as a team, that helps a lot.
Yes.
All shit out.
When Jeff's team is good, he wins.
Yeah. Pretty much. we did, you know, I'd say the two worst players in our group that were playing the other night are me and my buddy Eric, and me and him were killing yesterday. And it was literally just, you know, going, okay, let's protect A and C and stuff like that. Like, just. Or,
I wonder how they match people up, because you guys were like,
it's either like bad luck, but like as soon as you joined, the skill level of the other teams were like really a lot higher than I was used to. But it was weird because that our fourth player, Weber, he's pretty decent. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe both of you guys raised
the other. I wish there were some, like, you know, in previous Halo games, you kind of knew, I guess with social games, you didn't know because there was no, like, actual rank. But in ranked games, you kind of knew, like, hey, you're 10, you're 15, you're 20. And, like, you could play with people that are lower ranked, but you kind of know where everybody's at. And here it's like, we don't know. Like, they're just kind of hiding it. Unless you're playing ranked, and then you have a ranking.
Yeah, I don't. Sure. I've had some really good. You know, like yesterday, I had one match. I was like, for me, this is really good. I went like 17-12, and then I think it was like on Capture the Flag or something. And then, you know, I had like a capture or two. It was like, I might have been the best player on our team. I had to have been because we lost. But I think that was the one game it was Team Slayer. That was the one match we lost, but I did well, so I was happy.
Good stuff. Campaign next week, so
I'm very excited for that too. You know that game. You know, the campaign looks really interesting. I'm having a lot of fun with the multiplayer.
Yeah,
it's not usual for me.
They've improved the progression a little bit for the battle pass.
A little faster.
Yeah, I mean, if you play. I think it's like six games a day, you'll rank up. And that's just playing. That's not doing any other challenges or anything.
good.
So I don't know. Like, I unlocked another skin. Guess what? I'm still using like one of the default skins.
Yeah.
It's like, I unlocked that samurai skin that everybody now is using, and I did not equip that. Also, anybody that equipped that samurai skin and then put the red, white, and blue paint job on it,
God,
you look ridiculous.
America.
I know it's early days, but that's one of the things I do hope like way expand on when they add more battle pass. It's because so far, a lot of people look very similar. That first day, like you said, almost everybody had that red, white, and blue skin.
Yeah.
And now so many people have the samurai skin.
Yeah, and it's like then the colors are even locked, like they're locked to the different cores as well. So you have to get color wheel. Like, I don't like that at all. Like, give us colors, let us set the core up however we want, and then have us unlock cores and like the extra pieces to put on them. Whatever. I'm probably still just going to use like the default core, and then once I get like a cool helmet, put that on. Yeah. It's fun stuff. We'll be playing some campaign next week. But I think that's it for games we've been playing. Time to induct a game into the Hall of Fame.
Woo!
So we're going to do it. We have each come up with 10 questions, 10 trivia questions to ask each other. We will call out if we want to answer it, I guess, and whoever calls out first, that'll be the person that can answer it first. And then that'll be up to the question caller who they heard first. So, yeah. So who wants to kick this off, or should we declare what game we are trying to get in?
Oh my God.
I will have to decide that at the end.
Okay. So we'll wait on that.
I wonder what game I'm going for, guys. I don't know what game.
Like a dog chasing a car. I don't know what I'll do if I get there.
Silent Hill, right, Tony?
Absolutely, Silent Hill.
I want to win and just nominate another Resident Evil.
I hate you.
Now it's Resident Evil 2.
Did I make my questions harder now?
All right. I'll kick this off, and then we can go around. I will ask the first question. None of mine are multiple choice, so you know that. And it's pretty explicit on what I'm asking for, but if you have a question, let me know. So here, we'll start off. First question. Toru Iwatani, the creator of Pac-Man, cameos in what Adam Sandler movie? And has his hand... Earl, okay, Earl. That is
accurate. I know that one, but
I knew that one too. I was just too slow on the draw.
Told you, like mine aren't like they're only Pac-Man related, but
oh God,
they should be easy to go with.
Oh,
and what's good next?
Are you keeping count?
Well, okay, I have a notepad here, so we'll keep track.
Okay.
All right, I'll go next then.
Alrighty, Tony.
A programming error putting a zero instead of a one caused who to become hyper-aggressive in the original Civilization?
I don't know who's in that game.
I'm a guess. Can I guess?
All right, Chris, go for it.
Gandhi.
It was Gandhi.
Wow.
they set the aggression scale from 1 to 10. Only whoever was programming Gandhi put in a zero. And the zero messed things up, so he became as aggressive as humanly possible, so he would like nuke everybody and attack everyone.
I guess it just based on your wording there that it was like somebody that would be rather passive, and I remember Gandhi was one of the leaders you could choose.
Yeah. So now it's become like a thing, like in every game, every Civ game, now Gandhi is like hyper aggressive and you don't want to be next to Gandhi. Like he's the guy who's gonna try to kill you.
All right, who's asking next?
I guess I will go.
All right.
And this is for our good friend Walt. Who is the developer behind the first Shrek game, which was released on the Xbox and GameCube in 2001?
THQ.
Well, technically THQ is a publisher, not a developer. And you did not.
Yeah, I don't have a.
But
I'm not... wrong, so.
Yes, I mean, that was the other question.
God.
I don't know.
The actual studio? Who knows?
Okay, so
can we go with publisher instead of developer?
Universal Studio.
It's Activision. Activision is the publisher.
I don't think it's Activision either.
No, I'm just making it up. I don't know.
Okay, so one of the reasons I asked, aside from
it would be that,
and this blew my mind. The first Shrek game was made by Dice.
Dice. Holy shit!
That's hilarious.
Not what I would have thought at all.
Not that I was like, I'm gonna ask, and I looked it up, and it's like, yeah, I think they went by a slightly different name, which is just the longhand of what DICE stands for. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It is DICE stand for. Oh yeah, Digital Illusion CE. Which is DICE, I guess. So yes, it goes like it goes. Shrek, Rai Sports, Battlefield 1942, Shrek Extra Yards, The Land Before Time, Big Water Adventure, and then it's just a bunch of Battlefield games.
Made a Land Before Time game. That's great.
So,
who knew? Wow,
that is your fun bit of video game trivia for today.
All right, Jeff.
All right. This is a repeat from a previous game show, so if you have a very good memory, you'll get this.
Nintendo, also, Jeff is lazy.
Hey, I had my questions done like a week ago, so. Nintendo published which Rockstar game on the Super Nintendo in 1994?
Oh crap, I thought it was Silicon Valley, but that's an N64 game.
I can't think of that.
Is it? That's not Unicycle.
Anybody, any takers?
I'm gonna piggyback off of Earl's thought process. Because he said Unicycle. I'm going to say Uniracers.
Christopher, give yourself a point.
Thank you, Earl. You are amazing.
Very, very fun game, by the way.
I would not have got that if...
And very fun.
Earl had to give me that clue.
Okay, so I'm not going to start thinking out loud anymore.
I was going to... If no one was going to guess, I was going to give it to Earl, but since you were... actually have the correct title.
I'm an asshole.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good. Like, pulling that out of the ether, going, oh, it's Unicycles. So I would have gave it to him.
All right, Chris, here we go.
I was going to say, we should switch it up and Tony.
Okay, yep. Okay.
All right. Developers from this studio went on to create Worlds with Friends after it was disbanded following its foray into the Halo franchise. They are better known for creating Age of Empires.
Oh, god damn it.
I'm going to know the answer to this, too, when he says
you,
it.
You are, when I say
it.
Starts with like a C? Does it start with a C?
It does not.
I don't know that.
They made Halo Wars and then...
They did. Halo Wars was their last
game. Damn it.
Wait,
I knew it would be whoever did Halo Wars.
Is that Ensemble?
It is Ensemble, yes. Mm. Okay. For Earl.
Thank you, Chris. Now we're 1-1.
Damn it! Thinking out loud. All right, who's next?
I guess that would be me.
Okay.
Let me see. I will try an easy one. Okay. How many versions of Street Fighter 2 have been released?
Oh, God. All right, I'm going to go with 4. It must not be 4.
Are you counting every single port or just different versions? So it's going to be like not an insane number. Like Tony's not right.
Well, I was going to guess four.
I was honestly going to guess 4. So I'm going to say 5.
Oh no.
We're just going to keep going up and up.
Maybe. I'm like trying to think out. So how many versions of Street Fighter 2, right?
Yes.
So Street Fighter 2, Championship Edition, the Turbo, whatever the Super Nintendo one was. 7?
We've all guessed early. Now you can tell us the answer.
It is 8.
Damn it.
Oh, is all going over?
It's Street Fighter 2, the World Warriors, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighter, and Street Fighter 2 The New Challenges, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Hyper Street Fighter 2 The Anniversary Edition, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, and Ultra Street Fighter 2 The Final Challenges. If not for the Switch version, which had I think the only thing the Switch version adds is like that weird first-person fighting you can do just between Ryu and Ken, there would have been 7. So.
All right, Jeff.
All right. Rockstar was set to become one of Nintendo's main second-party developers, but their partnership ended after Nintendo's disapproval of this N64 game.
Leisure Suit Larry.
What, amazing. Was there even a Leisure Suit on N64?
That'd be hilarious.
So. That'd be awesome.
I'm going to assume it's GTA 2 London. I guess not.
Nope.
I don't have it. I don't know what they released on the N64. So
didn't you name a N64 Rockstar game like a minute ago, Earl?
Yes, I thought Silicon Station released. I didn't know that was the one that pissed them off.
It's not, but that would have been closer to correct than GTA. What, so I don't think there is a GTA.
That's right. When you said there isn't, I thought it was like how kind of like Final Fantasy VII happened where Nintendo.
No, it's a game that exists on N64.
Oh, okay, what is it?
Anybody want to take another stab or no?
I'm good.
The name of the game is Body Harvest.
Body Harvest.
I remember that. I didn't know that was West
Body.
Yeah, it was an early Rockstar game.
All right. Pac-Man released first in arcades in what year?
1981.
No. Earl, you were going to say something?
The 1980.
I know what it is now.
1980 is correct.
Is it? Oh, fuck.
Because Donkey Kong is also 1980, I believe.
Tony, were you going to guess that?
No.
I mean, Earl got it.
I was going to go the other way. I was going to go lower.
All right. I guess Earl, you kick us off this time.
Okay. I'm gonna do one that's slightly different. I think it's the only one I have here. But similar to Chris's question. Place the following beat 'em ups in order of release. X-Men the arcade game, Turtles in Time, Streets of Rage, and The Simpsons.
Oh god.
I'm gonna take a stab at it. Okay. Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage, Turtles, X-Men, Simpsons.
No.
How about Streets of Rage, Simpsons, Turtles, X-Men?
No.
It is.
I have no idea.
It is. Turtles, Streets of Rage, Simpsons, X-Men.
No. Ironically enough, it is Simpsons, Turtles, Streets of Rage, and X-Men. So, wow. Yeah.
Let's get there.
Yeah, you would think Streets of Rage would be one of the first ones, but no. So just for people's record. Okay, so I would have accepted Turtles or Simpsons because Turtles doesn't have a release date. It's just a release month in March 1991. Simpsons was March 4th, 1991. Streets of Rage was August 91. And X-Men Arcade was March of 1992.
Great. Jeffrey?
All right. Someone's going to get this one. Be quick. Be confident.
Oh, no, it's not going to happen.
Custer's Revenge. Arcade or home console game?
Arcade? I mean, it's a 50-50 shot, so.
Yeah.
Home console. Console.
Tony gets it. It's a home console game from the Atari 2600, 1982.
Right. Like, I know of the game. For some reason, I thought it was like,
the reason I had that question is because, like, I'm super aware of that game, and I was like, wait a second, was that an arcade game, or I didn't know, so.
I thought it was like a trick question where it's like, it's a console game that was an arcade part.
No, I think it was only an Atari 2600 game. I, for whatever reason, I thought it was an arcade game. So.
Right. All right. What original PlayStation and N64 title was a spiritual remake of the 1982 arcade hit Miss Pac-Man?
What?
What original PlayStation and N64, it was on both systems, was a spiritual remake of the 1982 arcade hit Miss Pac-Man?
Miss Pac-Man 64?
No.
I mean, I'm trying to imagine what the fuck on earth this is, but...
Hubert?
No.
Hubert?
Like, I'm trying to think of a puzzle game from that era. Right?
I'm just, wouldn't it just be Miss Pac-Man? Or I don't know, Miss Pac-Man 2?
Tony, you got a guess?
I have no idea.
Miss Pac-Man Maze Madness.
Oh.
Never heard of it. I never played that for sure.
You said that, I assumed it was like a game that was like Miss Pac-Man, not literally Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, that was the other thing, but I was like, what on earth would that be? Like, I think
sometimes you get into your own head with these questions. So.
Don't worry, my next one's like impossible unless you remember. Right.
All right, Tony.
All right, this should be easy for anyone who's not Jeff. Name the flagship franchise for Paradox Development Studio.
I know I'm going to know it.
Yeah, you are.
All right.
Talking about this like a thousand times.
Crusader Kings?
Nope.
Oh, no, damn it. Now I know. I can't guess again.
Now you know because, yeah.
Yes.
I'm thinking.
There's two games that I would have thought of for you, Tony.
And I'm just going to guess
Total War.
Oh, it's Europa Universalis.
Oh, that's the other one I always make fun of the title of, too.
That's right. That's exactly why.
As soon as Tony was like, it's not that, I was like, damn it, though, it's the weird one with the weird name.
I know that I remember the name of that one, too, but I was like, no, that's not. I didn't think that was right, honestly, for whatever reason.
All right, Jeff, why don't you kick us off for round four?
So this one is, again, I think it would be pretty hard to answer unless you have a really good memory of our previous game shows, but it's a fun little tidbit. The first video game to contain sexual themes was a text-based adventure that was published in 1981 for the Apple II. What was it called?
Jesus, no idea.
Anybody?
Steve Jobs, blowjob fantasy.
Earl?
Oh, I don't know.
I want a point for my inventive answer.
That was good, Tony.
Like, almost start making up titles and you can maybe get it, but it's called Soft Porn Adventure. That's the first adult game.
Oh, okay. All right. Pack Attack is a 1993 puzzle game for the Genesis and Super Nintendo. What game is it most similar to?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
No.
I have no idea.
Pac-Man?
No.
Sorry, I got a call. What was the question?
Pack Attack is a 1993 puzzle game for the Genesis and Super Nintendo. What game is it most similar to?
Fuck.
Yoshi's Story?
No. You already guessed, Jeff, but go ahead.
Puyo Puyo.
No. That you're getting closer though.
Mean Bean Machine.
A Tetris.
Well, that's too obvious. God,
Oh yeah, I guess that, like, that, would also, that would also make sense with Tetris Attack.
I totally missed the puzzle word the first time around. I might have got it the first time. I might have went simple the first time and just said Tetris, but I just figured, I don't think I've ever seen a exact Tetris clone. Usually they're more like the puzzle fighters or like, you know, like Poyu. Anyways.
Yeah, it's weird. Like you're matching up the ghosts to clear blocks. It's strange. All right, who was next?
Tony.
I can go next.
All right.
I mean, that is the order.
All right, guys. What does 4X stand for?
Four times?
That is a wonderful... I did not even think it stood for anything.
Exploration and extermination. There's two other X's. Yeah, I don't know the other two. That's all I do in those games. I explore and kill everything.
Well, you also expand.
And that's true.
Exploit.
Experiment.
And exploit.
Mm. Yes. I mean, technically, I can still guess because I never guess. But... okay, so I'm going to go for an easy one that I think anybody... What is the full name of the princess who first appeared in Super Mario Brothers?
What was that? Can you repeat that again, Earl?
What is the full name of the princess who first appeared in Super Mario Brothers?
Oh.
It's Daisy, right? It wasn't originally Peach, right? It was like... I
don't know.
Was it Peach? I'm just gonna say Princess Daisy. I don't know. Guess I'm wrong.
Earl is saying nothing, so it must be wrong.
She probably has a last name. Whatever it is, it's gonna have a last name that nobody Princess fucking Toadstool. Knows. Unless you fucking read the manual.
Was Tony's guess it, Earl?
Earl, you can actually speak if you want to.
I don't want to say anything, but the general, yes, we're getting closer.
Princess Toadstool.
Banana Fana Fofana.
Shroom Head. I don't know.
I her full name is Princess Peach Toadstool. Princess Peach.
Oh. Toadstool is the last name.
I want a point for that, Earl. I was close.
So she was fucking the Toadstools?
Well, she's the princess of them.
Of the Toadstools. Oh.
Yeah, that's because when you said it, it's like somebody said Peach and somebody said Toadstool. I'm like, her full name.
I knew it would have a last name that, like, you would have to, like, read the manual or some bullshit.
Oh, no, she's called.
They say in the text in the game.
Well, I mean, there's no text in the original Mario, but I think yeah, if you play, I think if you play Super Mario Brothers 2, that's her name. It's Princess Toad, Luigi, and Mario. And I think it's the same thing with Bowser. His full name is King Bowser Cooper.
Oh.
Don't worry, I have something like that that'll drive you guys nuts.
Right.
I think this is a Sam Dunk easy question.
Yeah.
It's right, Jeffrey's turn.
Oh. So after four rounds, Earl has three right. I have two. Tony has one. Jeff, you haven't answered any right yet.
Doing really well.
All right. Is it back to me? Kick off? Okay. Pac-Man spawned a 3D platformer series that released three games, so a trilogy of games, across two generations of systems. What was the series called?
Pac-Man World.
Eric, Jeff's on the board!
He was ready for that one. For some reason,
I was going to get mad if someone blurted it out before he finished the question, because I would have been like, dude,
wait,
Well, because I didn't want to like blurt it out, and then that was not what you were asking, you know?
Right. Nope, you got it. All right.
Bored. Fuck yeah. I'm gonna turn this around.
I find that happens with trivia sometimes. Is I think you end up psyching yourself out because it has to be some type of trick. It's like, no, it's a straightforward question.
Yeah, so I think we should, as a rule, let us finish the questions because that could have went some other weird direction. Like, how many games were there in the series? Or,
right. You know. He says how many games.
Right.
Whatever.
All right, yeah, well, we can finish the question before we answer.
Okay.
Fair enough. Tony?
All right. What is the name of the superhero in the SimCity franchise?
Is it Simman?
No.
I guess.
I didn't even know there was a superhero.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you can unlock. You get the right combination of buildings, and a superhero will fly around and fight off
like a superhero, like an existing superhero, like from another property, or is it like an original to that game?
It's original to the game.
Okay. Fuck, I know. Lying man.
Lying. I do like the one Earl said though. Sim man, Sim City man.
Earl's closer than Jeff. I mean,
I've never played that. I never got into that. I like the Sims.
Are we good conceding, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't.
Sony. Sim City was created by a studio called Maxis. The hero is Maxis Man.
Damn it!
Not bad.
I knew who made. Wouldn't have guessed that.
Earl?
Oh, it's up to me. Okay, I'm going to Hofi. Okay, I'm going to do this one because we are a video game podcast. What were the release dates for the Nintendo Switch, the PlayStation 5, and the Xbox Series S and X?
What were what?
The release dates. When did they come out?
Oh. Like the actual day.
If it's easier, I will also just accept months.
Oh, okay.
What are the systems?
PlayStation 5, Series XS, and Switch, yeah. I'll give a guess. Month and year, so...
If he gets it wrong, I'll call next.
But PlayStation and Xbox, November of 2020. And the Switch is March of 2017?
Yeah. Fucker.
Yes. And just for record, Switch is March 3rd, 2017. Xbox is November 10th, 2020. And PlayStation 5 is November 12th, 2020. I just wonder mostly the PlayStation and Xbox. I keep on forgetting it was 2 days apart.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jeff?
Yeah. All right. My last repeat question for people that remember things.
Nice. Which is not us, apparently.
Yeah. Sega's 1976 arcade racer Motocross was rebranded that same year to become the first licensed game. What was that game?
Are we still here? Are we still on? Yeah. We didn't lose you, Jeff. Can you repeat that?
Yes. Sega's 1976 arcade racer Motocross was rebranded that same year to become the first licensed game. What is it?
I got nothing.
I'm just going to guess Road Rash. I know it's not correct, but I want to guess something.
Yeah, no, that would not be correct.
That's an EA game.
It's, you got to think it's based off of property. I'll give you a hint. Hints here, guys. It's based off of property, like a movie or show or something.
Because it's a licensed game, yes.
Yes, in the 70s. And, you know, the original game was an arcade racer called Motocross, so you're racing a motorcycle.
Got that.
So.
Nope, still don't know.
I think when I say the answer, you guys are like, oh yeah, I seem to remember
I don't think we'll know the answer, but I know what it is because I looked it up while you were asking.
Okay.
It jumped the shark. So.
What was it?
It's Fonz, based off of Happy Days.
Oh. No, never would have got that. I did not even know there was a Happy Days themed game.
Honestly speaking, I didn't even know Sega made arcade games in the 70s. So. I was just like, it's all new to me.
The late 70s, Jeff?
76.
Same in the year. And the I thought you guys, for some reason, I thought when you heard the answer, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember him asking that fucking question.
No, we weren't listening the first time around.
No, right? save that for the first time. Yep.
2 years from now, I'll ask it again.
we still won't get it. But all right, I think it's Tony's turn to lead off.
Sure.
I'm gonna go grab a beer then right now.
Not even trying.
The first game in the Total War franchise was based on a board game called what?
Warhammer?
No.
I don't know any of these.
Shogun?
Yes, Chris got it.
I don't even know what that is.
It was Shogun Total War was the first game in the franchise. It was based on a game made by I want to say Hasbro called Shogun.
I only guessed that because I knew that that was the first Total War game. I did not know the board game. But... All right. I guess we should wait for Jeff to get back. Okay. Earl?
So this is a hard one, but I was putting these together. And I was super curious myself. A lot of these questions were things. The Street Fighter ones were stuff I just naturally wanted to know, and I thought it was a good opportunity to. So this one, I assume this is a logo or a brand that a lot of people have seen before. But what does LJN stand for?
Oh, you know, this is going to be one of my fucking questions, but I never looked up the fucking answer.
You didn't look it up?
No. I was like, I know it stands for something. I always found them to be a fascinating studio, and I was like, it got scratched from my list, and fucking fuck.
They're like the ones that the angry video game nerd always picks on, right? Like,
yes. Pretty much they made a lot of arcane games on the NES and Super Nintendo. If you again, I'm sure people have seen the logo before. It's like the rainbow that leads into the LJN.
Yeah, name. You know, you've played an LJN game for sure. I believe Friday the 13th might have been.
Yeah, Friday the 13th was LJN.
That was like a good one for them.
I don't know what LJN stands for.
Nope, me neither. No idea.
Jeff?
Yeah, I don't know. Any guess would be wrong.
So I don't think anybody would have gotten it. It stands for USJ Norman, which is the inverse of the company that the founder worked for originally, which is Norman J. Lewis. And I guess they left on good terms, and like they helped seed the company, so he just reversed it to name after the person. So it's the USJ Norman LJN. And hope you remember that in 2 years when I bring that up again.
I might.
I'm not going to remember.
All right, Jeff.
All right. So my last question was, what was the first licensed game? And that was Fonz, based off of Happy Days. What was the first licensed game based on a film?
Based on a film.
What'd you say, Earl?
E.T.?
No, but you're close.
Jaws.
Nope.
God.
Tony? These motherfuckers are real close, I'll just tell you that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like another Spielberg movie.
Yeah. Movie, yeah.
Indiana Jones, I don't know.
You're very close. I'll give that to Tony.
Yeah. Is it Raiders of the Lost Ark?
It's Raiders of the Lost Ark, Atari 2600, 1982. I mean, anyway, we should give it to Tony, right? Like,
I think that's...
Even though he got it by being the third fucking person to answer.
Well, I mean, we all took turns.
Yeah, but it's like, I was like, oh, you guys are very close. And then, like, he was like...
I mean, that's your fault,
drove
though.
The car to get him to his fucking
destination.
His car
got there. You could have said nothing, Jeff. Yeah,
that's what I do.
All right. Let's see. The father of Pac-Man, Toru Iwatani, whatever, returned to the series in 2007 to be project supervisor on what game, which was the last game he worked on? It was probably rather difficult.
He's still alive.
Yeah, he basically retired after working on this game.
Was it that amazing? Was it that great?
It can't be championship because that wasn't for like 3 years later. Right?
Do you want to guess that, Jeff?
No. Pac-Man World 3.
No.
Crap, no. What year is it?
2007.
Hold on. Pac-Man.
You say he returned to the series, or that his last game?
He returned to the series.
Yeah. So
the father of Pac-Man returns to the series in 2007.
I gave a fair enough guess, although I'm probably off by years and years.
Is it Pac-Man Championship Edition?
It is.
That's bullshit. Wow.
Pac-Man Championship Edition is 2007. DX was 2010, which is what Jeff was thinking of.
I cannot believe Championship Edition is that old. Wow.
Crazy, right?
Wow, dude.
And yeah, that was the last game that...
Also, I can't believe I blew that one.
You had it. It was there. I was like, that's why I asked. Like, do you want that to be your guess? You're like, no, it's Pac-Man World 3. Which was... would have been a PlayStation 2 game, so probably a little bit before then. All right, that is an Earl one. And that throws it to Tony.
All right, this 1994 title by Strategic Simulations Inc. is the best-selling computer strategy war game of all time.
Nineteen ninety-four.
By SSI. Yes. I was gonna say Warcraft.
It's pretty well known generally.
It has to be if it's the best selling whatever.
That was a clue, by the way.
That it's pretty well known.
Generally.
Oh, damn you, Tony. So it's not Command and Conquer. So,
no.
Jeff, what's a game with General in it?
General Hospital.
No. Earl, did you guess yet?
Yes, I said Warcraft.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
Panzer General.
Mm.
I don't know what that is.
Best-selling war strategy game of all
war
time,
game.
Huh?
Yes.
Who is this known by?
I know the developer.
Yeah, SSI is really famous, and like Panzer General is like a game that so many other, like it's like Civilization for 4X games, but in like the tactical war game realm.
Right, Earl.
So again, just some backstory. This one was just one of those ones where I'm like, I just want to test if people actually pay attention when they play this stuff. So anyone but their full name, the main villain in Uncharted game.
Oh God.
Can you repeat that again, Earl?
It could be the main antagonist, so not
Jesus Christ.
Of any Uncharted game. There are five games to pick from. Anybody.
Absolutely not. I can't think of a single one.
Nate Drake, because I hate that guy. I hate him.
He's the ultimate villain, Tony.
He really is.
Series.
To listen to that stupid voice, thank you, Nolan North, I hate you.
Oh, I don't know. Jeff, you got anything?
What's the question? Sorry.
name a main villain in any of the Uncharted games.
A villain?
Villain, the main villain.
Okay. You guys know that I do not pay attention to Dory.
Right, so we should just move right on, Earl.
Yeah.
I do, and we can't name one, so.
I was just like, I'm sure somebody's going to know somebody. And I played all of the Uncharted games. And I looked at the system, I'm like, I have no idea who these people are.
This is an amazing question, Earl. It's terrible, but it's amazing.
So it's Atone Navarro in Uncharted. It's Zorin Gazarvik in Uncharted 2. It's Catherine Menyo in Uncharted 3. It's Raf Adria in Uncharted 4. And it's Azov in Lost Legacy. And I'm sure you folks are like, oh, right, none of you had those reactions.
Great, yeah, I almost knew none of those.
Who's the main villain in the Golden Abyss,
I just went with the console. Yeah. I mean, if somebody had named the Golden Abyss, I would have just given you like 5 bonus points.
Right. I'm pretty sure the Abyss is the villain. Like, we don't know.
It's like you win. Somehow you knew this obscure villain from this game that nobody had a copy of. All right. Jeff.
Fuck, man. All right. All right. One Up called this 2007 PS2 licensed game Too Little, Too Late. And GameSpy said this one should have never been let out of a holding cell. Lots of clues, lots of signposts to follow in that question.
Holding cell. And licensed, it's a licensed game.
PS2, 2007. Too Little, Too Late should have never been let out of a holding cell.
I'm just gonna go. No, that's not 2007. And it's a licensed game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I want to say it's a Bond game, but I can't think of the name of it. A GoldenEye Rogue Agent?
No.
I'm just gonna guess. I'm sure I'm something. Manhunt.
Nope.
I have no idea.
Name a property from the 2000s. You have like a 1 in a million shot.
I was about to say that is not a great odds. There's a lot of crummy properties in the 2000s.
Mission Impossible.
The Shield.
The Shield.
I didn't know there's a Shield game.
I didn't either.
But has there been a Mission Impossible game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Has there been a recent Mission Impossible game?
No.
No.
I think it was one on N64.
I remember playing the one on the NES a lot.
Oh yes, Mission Impossible. Yeah. Okay. So, it's a third-person shooter. Is that the?
I mean, because everyone is right.
It looks like there was one in 2. Oh wow, there has not been a Mission Impossible game in 21 years, and the last one was a Game Boy Color game, recent 2000. Okay.
Tom Cruise not hitting all the marketing angles that he could for Mission Impossible.
Right.
All right. Back to Toru Iwatani. He worked as a producer on the first game in which long-running Namco light gun action series?
Time Cop?
No. But you were very close, Earl, but that's a that's a Jean-Claude
Time
Van Damme
Crisis.
Movie.
Damn it.
I think it's Time Crisis, guys.
Thank you.
It is Time Crisis. I don't even know how to score that one.
That's Tony.
Yeah. I'm like the vulture.
All right, Tony, go with number 7.
All right. So Sid Meier maybe known for Civilization, but he also developed one of the greatest simulations of all time on what battle?
Gettysburg?
Gettysburg is mostly right.
God, I'm not even going to attempt after that.
It's actually the sequel. I'll give it to Chris if nobody else can guess it.
Gettysburg 2, Electric Boogaloo.
The re-Civil War. I got nothing. So
man, nobody else can name a different Civil War battle.
I don't know. I'm not a Civil War dork.
I mean, I can name other, but they're like other cities, like the Battle of Richmond. Like
the original game was Sid Meier's Antietam, but he did develop a sequel called Sid Meier's Gettysburg. So we'll give the point to Chris because he did.
He's the one who guessed. Oh, my turn, man.
Yes, it's all you, Earl.
This is, I assume, once again, an easy enough answer.
Oh, no.
How many characters are playable in the original Super Smash Brothers?
How many?
Yes.
16.
I'm going to guess 8.
Is that wrong? I'm going to guess 12.
You can tell us wrong, Earl. You don't have to say nothing.
It's a point for Jeff.
Yeah. Right. Nice. I was going to guess 8 or 12. I couldn't remember which was correct.
It's 8 that you start off with and you'll knock 4.
That's probably why I guessed 8. Because I've actually never played the original Smash Brothers, but I've seen like that menu screen. All right, Jeff?
And their 2000 and their review of this 2006 licensed game, GameShark said, "While EA's The Godfather may not have been perfect, this game sleeps with the fishes." And their review of this 2006 licensed game, GameShark said, "While EA's The Godfather may not have been perfect, this game sleeps with the fishes." This one is kind of easy if you put the clues together.
Is there a Scarface game?
God damn you,
Earl. There is a Scarface game.
But that's not it.
Scarface game was actually good.
Oh, okay.
How about The Godfather 2?
No, but it's a good guess.
The hell else? What other fucking mafia game outside of Scarface and The Godfather would be?
At Game Shark had a magazine?
I guess there was a magazine called Game Shark. I don't know.
What year?
2006.
The Sopranos.
I'll give Chris the point. It's The Sopranos, Road to Respect.
Oh, God.
There's a Sopranos game?
I did not know, but there was a S.H.I.E.L.D. game, too, that we didn't know about. So.
Yeah, that's our thing. Yeah, keep, there's theming going on here.
Yeah, so you just got to keep it. We have to figure out Jeff's TV watching habits for the past 40 years.
That's a big game from the, or that's a big show from the 2000s. The Bob Clue, you know, like it's.
I've actually never seen it, so. But
you are aware of The Sopranos.
Yes, I am. I have no idea what that means to do with sleeping with the fishes, but
that's from The Godfather.
The mob reference.
Yeah, yeah, it means you're dead, like you're in the water, like you got.
Okay, but okay. So go. Oh, wait. Who starts next? Tony.
Think Jeff goes again.
Okay. Now my last two are very fun. Ready?
Yep.
What was the last James Bond game? And this is not a trick question. There's not some like weird mobile one. What was the last James Bond game?
There is a weird mobile one that's after it, though.
That's not a trick. What was the last real James Bond game?
007 Legends.
I give Earl a point. I thought this would stump everyone for some reason.
Earl's on this podcast.
It was so unmemorable.
Oh, that's why I remember it. It came out and it didn't have an ending because this is ties in with Skyfall, and they don't have like Skyfall's not out, so they do like the first like 5 chapters, which is him going through a bunch of different movies, and then like the movie comes out, they have this epilogue, which is the Skyfall chapter, which is like the most anticlimactic thing in the world. But yes, but there is an actual bubble game afterwards, but that's besides the fact.
I think Earl might be right. I might have messed up the order there. Jeff, that was your eighth question?
Ninth question.
No, ninth.
Yeah.
Ninth.
We should be on our last two questions this round. Yes.
Okay, so I think then we, because like I didn't ask my eighth question.
All right, well, then go now.
So, okay.
Go for it.
I just want to make sure we're all getting the question. Did anybody else hit all eight?
I have two questions, yeah.
I have okay. two left. And
so, yeah,
Jeff has one left. So.
So then there, then, okay, got it. All right, in 2010, Pac-Man received his own party-type game in the vein of Mario Party that released on the Wii and 3DS. What was it called?
Is it Pac-Man Frenzy?
No.
Pac-Man Party.
There you go.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Damn it.
What was the Sonic one called? Is that Sonic Rumble?
All right. So,
Jeff
asked his ninth, yes?
Yes. So you get to ask one more, I think, because you would go next after Jeff.
Okay. So we'll just double this up here. Pac-Man saw a cartoon revival in 2013.
Pac-Man and the Ghosty Adventures.
That is correct.
That is the one Pac-Man, in fact, I had in my brain for this entire show that I'm going to get out.
I mean, I didn't even finish the question, but it would have been that got two video game tie-ins in 2013 and 14. What was the show called? Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures is the correct answer.
We'll let it stand since I would have never gotten that.
It was Jeff, like I think you actually like those games, too.
The cartoon was whatever.
They're 3D platformers.
There's only two other pieces of the Pac-Man trivia that I have in my brain, and once you get finished, I assume they're not related to your questions. I will let you know what's up.
All right. Earl got that. So, just a quick update with, what do we have? Six questions left total?
Yes. So, wait, no.
No, we okay. should have five, right?
How many? We have six. We have two, and then
Two, and then one each for me and Jeff. So Earl has six. I have six. Tony has four. Jeff has two. Jeff, you're gonna need to run the table here pretty much to pop this out. But Tony can catch up, and Earl and I are neck and neck. All right. I guess it was Tony next.
Yeah.
Sure. This game, developed by Irrational in 2002, was a comic book-based strategy game without any sort of... Earl?
Oh, crap, I always get these two confused. Is it Freedom Force?
It is Freedom Force.
Yes, I always get confused with Freedom Fighters, but I actually did play that one.
Freedom Force is good, too.
It is, a good game.
Yeah, I tried to actually find that sometime during this year, and like it's super hard to actually play it on a modern...
Yeah,
it has not been optimized for anything.
I mean, not even that. Like, you're just trying to pay it because you can't find it on any stores.
I mean, I own it. Like, I have it on Steam right now.
I thought it was on Steam.
Okay, then I will look into it. But I got one of these.
It's really, it's very tough to run, though.
Yes. Okay, so this is there's a 50-50 chance of getting it right. So somebody's going to get it correct. Sonic the Hedgehog infamously had two animated series that ran concurrently in the 1990s. Which premiered first? The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog or Sonic the Hedgehog?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Tony gets it. So The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog premiered on September 6, 1993. Sonic the Hedgehog, or sometimes called Sonic Saturday Morning, premiered on September 18th, 1993. So they were just 12 days apart.
All right. Jeff, you want to close out your questions?
Yeah, all right. What was the first Nintendo video game? And before you answer, I will accept two different answers for this.
Is it Popeye?
No.
Kung Fu.
Donkey Kong?
No, Donkey Kong.
And Chris was the closest, and that is a Nintendo game.
Oh, because Popeye was Donkey Kong was based off of the Popeye, but it's that
Popeye, stupid rotor. Popeye was based off of Donkey Kong.
I think. So it's the other way around. But isn't it that stupid? It's a trackball game they did, isn't it?
It's a what?
It's a trackball.
Trackball.
No.
Like it's what is it then?
Tony? Anybody? Anyway?
We all guessed.
Well, there's two different answers. I guess the kind of official one is a game called EVR Race from 1975. And that is a game, it's an arcade game, where you watch a horse race going across the screen and the players could bet on which horse is going to win by putting a coin in different slots.
Okay. What's the other one?
The other one's from 1973, so it's actually earlier, but I guess it doesn't get the credit because it wasn't as widely produced, I guess. I don't know. Even though I swear I've played this one, it's called Laser Clay Shooting System.
Okay, I think that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, think a very primitive version of like Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
But you would project it like on a wall. Or I remember playing something exactly like that at a bar in Wisconsin in the 80s, so I wonder if it was that or something based off of that idea. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at images. They're not great, but it's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, you can't find like video of, I don't think, either of those games. It would be hard to, I don't know.
All right, I will wrap up my questions here. 2015's Pac-Man 256 could be considered what type of game popular on mobile?
Battle Royale?
Yep. Endless Runner? Scroller?
Endless Runner. That would be correct.
Give me a point. Yeah!
Yeah! Go, Jeff.
All right, Tony. Wrap up yours.
All right. The goal of the space race in Civilization is to be the first empire to build a spaceship and send it where?
To the moon?
No. Mars.
No.
No. No and no.
No and no.
Jeff, you got an answer?
So the goal of the space race in Civilization is to be the first empire to build a spaceship and send it where?
Space.
Oh, is that your answer, Jeff? I want to guess again, Tony. I know it won't give you a point, but Alpha Centauri.
Alpha Centauri.
Damn it! Because they made a game after.
They did.
You know, like there was
like a whole like yeah.
Ah, oh, so you like it's don't answer what first pops into your head.
That's all I answer.
Worked out for you, Earl. So
okay, my final question is a very un-Earl question, but whatever. Which star athlete was on the cover of NBA 2K?
Which one?
NBA 2K.
Oh, the original Kobe NBA Bryant. 2K.
Yeah, I guess Kobe would be my guess. I don't know.
2K.
It's not Kobe, I'm guessing. Earl's being silent.
It is not Kobe. I was so good.
Iverson was 2K5, I think. No, 2K2. Shaq?
See, this is one of those times you should have thought you should have went with
Jordan. Was it Iverson?
Iverson was on the cover of 2K, 2K1, 2, 2K3, and 2K4.
Was it? He was on the cover of. Oh, damn it.
Wow.
I could have tied you at that point.
No.
Well, Earl wins. I'm actually happy with how this turned out because we ended up answering over half of the questions that were asked. So.
Yes, we just need to ban Tony from asking any.
You got four of my questions.
Yeah. Jeff's and... one of the ones that were hard.
Well, Jeff, I mean, I wish he had figured out his pattern earlier on where it's like random movies and TV shows Jeff enjoyed. We could have, like, at least been in the ballpark then. yes, and just before I forget, my two Pac-Man facts is I know the song Pac Fever, of course, and then like he has a Christmas special, Pac-Man, say Christmas comes to Pac-Man. Those are the two pack, the two other Pac-Man facts I had in my head.
Nice. So you knew Ghostly Adventures, Pac-Man Fever,
and also I was half expect. I was surprised there was no Pac-Man versus. When you asked that question about 2007, I was going to go with Pac-Man versus first, and I'm like, let me play to Chris's strength. Which one does he prefer?
All right. Well, you are the winner. Who is
going into? Okay. Before I, because I have this in the back of my head a long time now, can we just run through who's already in the Hall of Fame?
Sure. So starting, we have quite a chunk here, starting with 2019. Super Mario Brothers 3, The Legend of Zelda, Tetris, Jungle Hunt, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. And that's where we banned allowing more than one at a time. StarCraft, Contra, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Miss Pac-Man, Super Metroid. Then moving on to 2020, Mortal Kombat, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Ninja Gaiden, Sid Meier's Civilization, Halo Combat Evolved, Unreal Tournament, TMNT Turtles in Time, Final Fantasy, NBA Jam, GoldenEye 007, and then from earlier this year, Resident Evil, Star Wars TIE Fighter, Streets of Rage 2, The Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, Mario Golf Advance Tour, and Chrono Trigger.
Okay. So I am really going to stick to my theme of parody of doing both licensed games and beat 'em up and induct a game that I think would have gotten in there. It's just going to take several years. And it is, I was reminded of it today while playing Spider-Man and recently in conversations, but Batman Arkham Asylum.
Oh, nice.
You say boo?
I said oh yeah and yawned at the same time.
I mean, it's a very safe choice. I had other games, and I'm like, let me go with the safe one. Again, I think this would have gotten in when we get around to it. What is the rule? 20 years? Or is
it was 15. What was what we started was 2005 last year. 2007 can get in this year.
Well, if it's 15 years, it'd be 2006.
2006, yes.
Okay, so yeah, it would the three more years, it would have gotten in. I mean, I don't know if it would have gotten in 2024, but it is there now. It ascends to the ranks.
It's a good choice.
Yeah, I like it. It is got there before Mass Effect. So,
damn you, Earl. Damn you.
Tony was making a comeback too.
Yeah, where did we end up?
Earl, you had 7. I had 6. Tony had 5. And Jeff had 3.
It was a horse race.
Was. I mean, it was pretty close. And I mean,
it
out of the
like,
40.
It was like a EVR race.
Don't try to make that happen.
It did happen. It's history. Like, that thing that like blew my mind is that, like, you know, we all like know and like Nintendo. It's like, I had no idea. I'd never heard that.
So to say, because I watched that documentary they had this year, and I don't remember that game coming up at all.
Yeah, it just goes from like, oh, they used to do like the Hanafuda cards or whatever, like, and then, oh, Donkey Kong. Like,
well, you missed the middle ground when they did the little back scratcher thingy.
I don't even remember that. So maybe they do cover EVR race, and we just don't remember.
It's like a grabber or something like that. I think it's appeared in some of their games since then. Okay.
I don't think I can put together another 10 questions on Pac-Man though. So,
credit to all of you for like you stuck to Pac-Man. Jeff stuck to very heavy on licensed games. And Tony had his Sims and War games. I was just all over the place. I tried to do a mix of current gen and old stuff and industry. My personal favorite is Uncharted Question.
That one was
that's a great question.
It is terrible that we like that those games their villains are so unmemorable.
I wouldn't remember any of them now. But yeah. That's hilarious that none of you guys...
Because these are Game of the Year contenders. And they've been Game of the Year several times. And everybody knows Nathan. Like, they know Chloe. They know... Sam. So you know all, but like, Sully, all that people, naming a villain, it's like, they exist.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, because if I did not say main villain, would you have been able to name any antagonist in the Uncharted franchise?
No.
No. Absolutely not. Like, there's the one. No, just no. There's the one that, like, starts out like not on your side, but then she eventually becomes friends with you. I don't know.
I don't think she's a Nadine, because she's Nadine, the one in. I think she's
in Lost Legacy, right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So yeah, yes. And again, I was just like, I saw that. I'm like, I have to ask, because I, again, played all of them. I cannot remember a single person's name. And even seeing so many of their faces, I'm like, you kind of are familiar, but you're just like a generic white dude. So, and that's like half of them.
Yeah. It's crazy. Excellent question there, Earl. Congratulations to Batman Arkham Asylum.
Good game. Good job.
I might say the best Arkham game.
But the only one that I like.
I like all of them, but Asylum to me is the best. I think it's a very compact experience, and I think sometimes it showcases why you don't necessarily always need open world. I think making the franchise bigger didn't always help it. Where like a lot of like, especially with the Ridger stuff, I thought a lot of that stuff built into the environment. Instead of just being like random challenges on the map, was just so much more creative and fun.
Great. All right. Well, we'll be inducting another 5 games this month, later in the month. None of them Shrek related.
You don't know that yet.
You're right. We don't. We can only hope. There's no Shrek related games being nominated. We're going to have Halo next week. Campaign comes out Tuesday, so we'll be able to talk up that.
I forgot that game was out until that trailer came out. I'm like, oh, right, the game actually still needs to come out. But it looks fantastic.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm glad, like, the previews that I've heard, not that I would have been upset with Far Cry Halo, but it seems like it's a little more than that. So, looking forward to seeing what that is. We'll have that for next week. I'm sure all of us will touch it at some point.
Certainly.
And yeah, we'll be back then. Jeff, say goodnight.